The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Let's start this today's Reader's Digest off with Best Pet Pals. And there's a picture here, and I'll describe it. It's a head of a horse, basically from the eyes down to the mouth, and it has a blue harness on it. And in its mouth, there's a carrot with a paintbrush taped to the carrot. And on the bottom of it, underneath there, is a gentleman holding a, it looks like a piece of canvas with all bright colors of all kinds of reds and blues and yellows and things. And many people come to this man's shop just to see blues artist. And this is, believe it or not, at Carolina Beach, North Carolina. Blue is a rescue horse saved from a kill pen, where I suspect he was abused. Horses are flight animals, but Blue was a fighter, unafraid to kick and lash out at strangers. He'd also grab anything his mouth could reach, hoses, brooms, lead ropes, clothes. He clearly had pent-up energy that needed expending. Since he already was picking up everything within reach, I taped a carrot to a paintbrush to see if he'd take it. Once he figured out I wanted him to spread paint across the canvas I was holding, we were off to the races. Soon he was waving and bowing his head to paint with little prompting, waiting until the carrot was detached to take a bite. He's completed 14 paintings, many of which I display in my beer and wine shop, alongside my own art. Two of his paintings have sold, which I guess makes Blue a professional artist. Usually Blue is antsy when I take him out of his panic, but when he sees the paint tray, he becomes hushed and still. A totally different horse. And this was nominated by Eric Tutley. And the picture, the paintings are obviously abstract, but they're actually extremely colorful. I know there was a recent article about elephants who actually paint and do the same thing. The horse's pictures is very much that same kind of very abstract art. Very pretty, actually. And how about the art of living, food, facts, and fun? Ooey gooey goodness, and this will bring back a lot of memories to some of us older people. For flavor and fellowship, fondue is a slam dunk. Some treads have their flesh in a pan. Others are here to linger, like dear friends hovering over fondue pot. In its essence, fondue is rich, nutty cheese. Gruyere and Emmentaler are classics. Melted with white wine, thickened with cornstarch, and stirred until smooth. This irresistible mixture is served in an enamel pot that's kept warm over a small flame. A garlic clove is typically rubbed along the inside of the pot first to imbue all the ingredients to come. And those of us who remember doing this, it's very familiar. White wine is essential, and not just for flavor, explains Daniel Gritzer, senior culinary director of Serious Eats. Wine's natural acidity helps prevent cheese from clumping together when melted. Its foolproof fondue is also spiked with lemon juice to help stabilize the emulsion while providing a bright foil to all that Swiss cheese. This classic communal meal indeed comes from Switzerland, where farm families wanted to stretch their resources during the winter. Just a nub of cheese, a splash of wine, a stale loaf, and a warm hearth took that bread from days old to delectable. Traditionally, the dipper who loses a piece of bread buys a round of drinks. Fondue stayed mostly a close-knit Alpine tradition until the 1930s. That's when the Swiss Cheese Union, called the Schweizer Sitzkatze Union, started campaigning for increased cheese consumption, promoting fondue as a patriotic symbol of Swiss unity. This so-called cheesemaker cartel has been calling the shots since its 1914 inception, setting the country's price for milk and limiting the production of milk and cheese as well as the varieties the cheesemakers could produce. So in the 1930s, the Swiss Cheese Union made fondue the national dish of Switzerland. But the experience was still largely unknown in America until 1964. That year, fondue debuted at the World's Fair in New York, where word got around to hit up the Swiss Pavilion's Alpine restaurant. And there's a picture here of a fondue pot. Looks very much like one I used to own. And a bunch, of course, the fondue prongs that you use, and a plate of mushrooms and a variety of things. Soon, swirling food on extra-long forks skyrocketed in popularity. The first melting pot restaurant opened in 1975 outside Orlando. But at-home enthusiasts also bubbled up as Americans looked to transform their backyard into exotic landscapes with luaus, tiki torches, and yes, fondue pots. In 2022, Food and Wine named cheese fondue among the biggest food trends since the magazine launched in 1978. But how does one do fondue? Dunking with bite-sized pieces of sturdy bread is certain. Cooked redskin potatoes, apple or pear slices? Sure. Pickled accoutrements with cornichons and pearl onions are intended as palate cleansers. To sip, white wine, cherry brandy, and hot tea. Lore has it that sipping something warm keeps the cheese from becoming a heavy lump in your stomach. According to tradition, the dipper who loses a piece of bread in the cheese buys a round of drinks, kisses neighbors at the table, or does the dishes. And don't neglect the last bit of cheese caramelizing in the bottom of the pot, called le religieuse, or the nun. That's interesting because it resembles the caps nuns wore in the Middle Ages. It's considered a delicacy and a privilege to be allowed to eat. Since we're still discussing food, how about 13 things? A baker's dozen fact about eggs. Number one, which came first, the chicken or the egg? The scientific answer to this age-old question is the egg. Chickens are a domesticated version of the red jungle fowl, Gallus gallus, a tropical bird still common in forests and jungles across Asia. Selectively breeding the tamest of the birds created a new species about 8,000 years ago. The first ever chicken, Gallus domesticus, came from the egg of its wild ancestors. Well, that's interesting. Who knew that? Number two, more than 99% of the Earth's animal species reproduce by laying eggs, with mammals being the notable outliers. Even then, there are two egg exceptions. Oh, God, that's awful. That's a horrible pun. That's EGG-ceptions. The enchinita, spiny anteater, and the platypus. Number three, we've all seen whited brown eggs in the dairy case. But contrary to one sympathy, the white eggs have not been bleached. Chicken eggs come in a array of shades, including cream, pink, blue, and even green. So green eggs just aren't just the imagination of Dr. Seuss, though in real life, only the shells appear green. The color of an egg's shell makes no difference to the nutrition or the taste. Number four, eggs are a great source of protein and vitamins A, D, and B12. But they're also higher in dietary cholesterol, which has led to some confusing guidelines. In the 1960s and 70s, the American Heart Association warned against eating more than 3 eggs per week. But current research has debunked this, concluding that there's no definitive link between eating eggs and an increase in blood cholesterol. Number five, chocolate eggs. It is Easter time. Chocolate eggs don't have the same nutritional benefits, which is a shame considering Americans eat roughly 90 million of them each spring. Easter is the highest earning holiday for chocolate. Number six, archaeologists have discovered decorated eggs in the tombs of ancient Mediterranean and Middle Eastern elites. But the association with Easter began in Ukraine. With the yolk representing the sun, decorating eggs was a way to welcome spring and ward off a bad crop season. As Christianity spread to Eastern Europe in the Middle Ages, the ritual was reimagined with eggs symbolizing Christ's resurrection. Number seven, Fabergé eggs are the fanciest of all Easter eggs, created from gold and adorned with diamonds and semi-precious stones. The ornate hen egg, commissioned by Tsar Alexander III as an Easter gift for his wife, was the first in a series of 50 created for the Russian imperial family between 1885 and 1917. One of these, the third imperial egg, has been considered lost since 1922. But then it wound up at a Midwestern flea market in 2004, where a buyer paid $13,302, hoping to sell it but not realizing its full worth. He wasn't alone. No one wanted to buy it, and the egg sat in his kitchen cupboard for years. He nearly sold the gold for scrap before finally confirming its true identity and selling it to a private collector for an estimated $33 million in 2014. Now that's a capital gain. Number eight, Easter eggs have become a mainstream pop culture phenomena, seen in Marvel movies, video games, and Taylor Swift music videos. The practice of hiding hard-to-catch inside jokes from mega fans is now done deliberately. But it started by accident on the set of 1975's The Rocky Horror Picture Show. The cast had held an egg hunt, and some of the eggs were so well hidden that they weren't removed before filming. At least 3 Easter eggs are visible in the final film. Copper Mountain in Colorado boasts the world's largest Easter egg hunt, where 65,000 eggs are hidden across 2,500 acres. Far more famous, the annual Easter egg roll on the White House South Lawn dates back to 1878, after Congress forbid egg rolling on Capitol Hill to protect the grounds from wear and tear. Rutherford B. Hayes was the first president to welcome children and their eggs to the White House. Number 10. A picture of a speckled brown egg became the most liked image on Instagram in 2019. After claiming the top spot, breaks began appearing in its shell on subsequent pages. Then it fully cracked under pressure. The initially anonymous poster turned out to be an ad exec named Chris Godfrey, and the whole thing was part of a Super Bowl ad about social media's effect on mental health. With more than 60 million likes, a world record, egg's photo was Instagram's most liked image until late 2022, when a photo of stalker star Lionel Messi unseated it. Number 11. Ostriches lay the largest eggs, averaging nearly 6 inches long, 5 inches wide, and 3 pounds. At a Phoenix farm in 2008, an ostrich laid an egg nearly double that size, weighing in at 5.7 pounds, a new world record. But the biggest eggs ever are believed to be those of the aptly named but now extinct Apionius maximus, elephant bird, a flightless species once native to Madagascar, whose eggs were about 1 foot long, 8.6 inches wide, and almost 29 pounds. Just one could yield about 150 normal-sized omelets. Number 12. Eggs Benedict. Soft-boiled on open-faced sandwich smothered in hollandaise sauce is commonly, though not conclusively, believed to be named for Mrs. Le Grand Benedict, who ordered eggs this way at Delmonico's restaurant in New York City in the 1860s. During the Industrial Revolution, poached the usual style. Today, people's preference is boiled, hard-boiled in the northern states and soft-boiled in the south. Number 13. If you want to venture off the beaten path, try cloud eggs, in which the whites are whisked into stiff peaks and baked, or eggs in a nest, which also goes by many other names, featuring an egg fried inside a piece of bread. Cook an omelet in a waffle maker for a unique shape, or use a milk steamer for insanely fluffy in scrambles. Eggs, many options, so don't wait. Get cracking. Department of Wit. And we start off with a cartoon picture of two gentlemen, with one with a Green Bay Packers hat on, the other with a Cleveland Browns Packer on, and they're sitting at a table eating corn chips, and both of them have big steins full of beer, and there's a deer's head looking down at them askance. And a young lady running down the stairs with what looks like a bunch of popcorn. How to speak like a Midwesterner, a proud daughter of Missouri, teaches us all. Well, hey there, come on in, sit down. Can I get you anything? A coffee? Glass of wine? Bagel bites from the garage fridge? Oh, sure. Okay, well, you just let me know. Welcome to this handy guide to Midwestern conversation. Whether you're looking to become a Midwestern yourself, trying to communicate with a middle American loved one, preparing for a trip in the heartland, bring a jacket, or just brushing up on your hometown lingo, this dictionary of common phrases is for you. So take off your coat and stay a while. Oop, let me just squeeze right past you. Excuse me, I am already mid-squeeze, but have gotten close enough that I need to acknowledge our proximity. I'll come and say goodbye to you before I leave. Jeez, Louise. I am outraged. Exhausted and baffled all at once. I will now sigh and shake my head 3 times. Yeah, no, 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 yeah, yeah. You betcha. 100%, absolutely. I could not respond in a more affirmative manner. Yeah, you betcha. I am finished with this conversation. I stopped listening some time ago, so let's wrap this up. Oh, here I come again. I need to get by you again. So I'm using our newfound familiarity to make it less awkward for both of us. If I see you in the parking lot, I'll wave enthusiastically. He's a real nice guy. I like talking to him, and I've never seen him be rude or unkind to anyone. But our conversations have never been thorough enough for me to comment on anything but his general demeanor. I'll introduce you to him as one of my favorite people. She's a character. Absolutely out of her mind. Totally untethered by the norms of society. I go back and forth between finding her endearing and wanting to drop her off at Hardee's in the middle of nowhere and never return. I'm spending 1 month's salary throwing her a birthday party later this year. Nothing gets past him. Sharpest attack, that one. Sometimes it's annoying, but we know he means well. That really tickled me. I am beside myself with internal laughter. My world sparkles with your humor. I will tell the story of this moment at every dinner party, barbecue, and post-T-ball hangout until they put me in the ground. Every time I see you from this day forward, I will say, "Oh my gosh, remember when?" And then relive this amusing incident with you until I summon another person over and have you recount it for them. I will forevermore introduce you as the funniest person I know. She's a doll. I like her. She smiles a lot and agrees with everything I say. That's going to be a bit of a challenge. If I could scream, "Absolutely not," in your face, I would. But I can't. I will, of course, exhaust every possible avenue to make your request happen. I hear you. For the love of God, shut up. I'm so bored. Like, sure, on a basic human level, I understand your frustration, but I understand that first 37 times you said it. The next time I see you, my first question will be about the issue. I don't really care for it. What disaster hath humanity wrought? What hell has descended upon our fair planet that I must have seared in my memory that absolute monstrosity? How could that incomprehensible scourge have come from the same planet that gave us cinnamon rolls, children's choirs, and calligraphy on distressed wood? I will claim to know the artist personally every time their name comes up from now on. Hey, question for ya. Something's been bugging me for the past week or so, and you're the most immediate authority that I know on the matter. I'll listen to your answer and then go into a lot of detail about the thinking I've been doing over the past few days. From here on out, I'll text you every time this subject comes up. Doesn't that sound fun? I don't care what you actually think. I want to do this. And I want you to agree with the excitement right in this very moment so everyone can see. I will return the favor as soon as I'm able. Oh, now that's an idea. I had not considered that. And that makes me think it's possibly a horrible idea. I will remain here, nodding to myself and staring into space until I figured out my true feelings. To re-enter the conversation, I will compliment you on whatever item of your clothing with which I'm least familiar. Well, I hope it works out for you. I'm tired of talking about this now. Please stop before you go from grating to insufferable. I am genuinely invested in your success and will be asking for future frequent updates. That's different. What an ever-loving... Your opinion/attire/home decor is so actively displeasing to me that if someone offered me a lobotomy right now, how to forget it, I would have to consider it. I will explain it to the next person we see with enthusiasm. Well, there you go. Nothing more to be said. Nothing more to be done. Let's go grab a beer. She's a doll. I like her. She smiles a lot and agrees with everything I say. Well, we're coming up on spring, so this next one is going to be kind of interesting. The Healthy, wellnessfromthehealthy.com. The latest on Lyme disease. A vaccine is finally on the way. In the meantime, here's how to protect yourself from ticks. While dog owners have been able to vaccinate their pets against Lyme disease since the beginning of the 1990s, the first human Lyme vaccine, Limerix, was taken off the market by its manufacturer in 2002 after only 4 years. At the time, sales were low, partly because the market was small, about 20,000 cases a year in the United States, and partly because of unproven claims that the vaccine caused arthritis. Since then, cases have skyrocketed. Climate change plays a factor. Ticks thrive in warm, humid environments, and their habitat is expanding. They live in wooded areas, on the edges of forests, under tree canopies, and in tall grasses. Once most common in the northeastern, midwestern, and mid-Atlantic states, the tick and Lyme disease has since spread south and west. Now almost 500,000 Americans are diagnosed and treated each year. Fortunately, new vaccines prevent infection are underway. Moderna has two vaccines in development. Pfizer Incorporated and French drug maker Valneva SE have a vaccine currently in phase 3 trials and expected to be available in the next few years. That's great news for people like Ryan McIntyre, who began experiencing severe joint pain, unstable blood sugar levels, brain fog, and other debilitating symptoms while studying abroad in Australia in 2016. It got so bad that she flew home to Massachusetts early and began a frustrating quest for a diagnosis. More than one doctor attributed her symptoms to stress. After a friend asked whether she'd been tested for Lyme disease, McIntyre requested a blood test, which confirmed she had the antibodies in her system. That result, as well as her symptoms, led her doctor to conclude that McIntyre had been living with Lyme disease for more than a decade, most likely since a nurse pulled a tick from her scalp after an elementary school field trip in the early 2000s near her home in Cape Cod. Lyme disease, which was first identified in Lyme, Connecticut in the 1970s, come from black-legged ticks that parents the bacteria Borrelia burgdorferi. Symptoms include fatigue, fever, joint pain, headache, and chills, and they can appear anywhere from 3 to 30 days after a bite. That makes diagnosis a challenge, as is the fact that the symptoms are common for other illnesses, says Janet Sperling, an entomologist and the president of CanLyme, the Canadian Lyme Disease Foundation. The one definitive symptom of Lyme disease, a bullseye-shaped rash, doesn't always show up. If left undiagnosed, Lyme disease can affect the central nervous system, resulting in a hard-to-treat chronic condition called neurologic Lyme disease. Its symptoms include brain fog, fatigue, pain, and muscle weakness. Until a vaccine is widely available, your best defense against Lyme disease is to avoid getting bitten by a black-legged tick, says Sperling. You're not going to get rid of them, she says. We have to learn to live with them. Smart tips to stay safe. Wear light colors, ideally long pants, socks, and closed-toed shoes. Tuck your pants into your socks and your shirt into your pants. Look for repellent clothing, such as shirts and pants treated with insecticide permethrin. Spray yourself with repellent that contains 30% DEET or 20% picardin, also known as picardin. Landscape your yard to make it inhospitable for ticks. Sorry about that. Try tick tubes. Family handyman recommends Thermacell, which can prevent mice from picking up ticks and carrying them into your home. Check yourself for ticks, including your scalp, your groin, and the backs of your knees and behind your ears. Dry your clothes on high heat for at least 15 minutes as soon as you get inside, even before washing them. Stick to trails and avoid walking through tall grass. Paging Dr. AI. If you've ever Googled symptoms, and who hasn't, you probably scared yourself with dire diagnosis. With no doctor there to vet the source and put the information in context. But we can't help ourselves, so can AI help? That's artificial intelligence. Natural language tools powered by artificial intelligence are trained using books, scientific research, and data from the Internet. They can then generate answers to questions, write articles, and mimic human conversation. Some, including OpenAI's ChatGPT and Google Med's Palm, have even passed the U.S. medical licensing exam. But that doesn't mean these tools are qualified to diagnose symptoms and dish out health advice, says Benjamin Tolchin, a neurologist and director of the Center of Clinical Ethics at Yale New Haven Health in Connecticut. The technology is new and has serious pitfalls, including gender or racial bias, privacy concerns, and hallucinations, a term used to describe it a chat box occasionally tendency to generate false facts. When asked, even ChatGPT itself says, is not a professional medical professional and responses should not be considered as medical advice. Plus, like Google searches or web-based symptom checkers, chatbots lack real-life context and may lead a person to focus on the worst-case scenario. So a chatbot can certainly help with research, but there's no substitute for a consult with a real doctor who can also provide comfort and reassurance, not to mention treatment. And with that, we're going to switch over to Consumer Reports. Now, last week we went over mattresses, making the deal, what gives the best mattress, zero on the support and pressure relief. But we didn't have time to run through the top mattresses that Consumer Reports recommends. For the right fit, pick your mattress type. Check results for the sleep position and size that best describes you, then focus on models that show a dark or light green circle in that column. We're not going to do all that, but we are going to run through the top 10 or so mattresses. The one to score the highest at 84 for innerspring mattresses was Avocado Green, which runs for $1,900. The number second, which was scored at 82, is Denver Mattress, Doctor's Choice Plush, and it's $800. Sleepers Hybrid, which also scored 82, was $1,300. Casper Original Hybrid at 82 was $1,400. Charles B. Rogers Limited 8 Hybrid was 81 at $3,200. Parachute Echo Comfort at 81 was $2,400. Ethan Allen EA Signature Platinum Plush for $3,420 scored an 81 as well. At 79, Avocado Green Matches Pillow Top at $2,400. And the next four are, the next three are seven, scored 78. The Zoma Hybrid at 800. The Beautyrest BR800 12-inch medium firm scored at 770. And Casper Wave Hybrid at 2,300. The next two scored 77s. Big Fig, the batches for a bigger figure, $1,600. And Emma Climax Hybrid at $800. Now, let's go look also at foam mattresses. Foam mattresses, there are only three in the top score, and they all scored 81. Essentia Stratami at $3,500, Earthform Organic Medium at $1,000, and Casper Original at $1,200. The next at 80 was Sleep On Latex Pure Green Firm at $1,000. The next several were 79. It scored 79 Avocado Latex Mattress at $3,000, Spindle 10-inch Organic Latex at $2,300, Essential Classic RMS Organic 8 at $4,200, Tempur-Pedic Cloud Medium at $2,000, and Cocoon by Sealy Chill Memory Foam at $1,200. Obviously, these are not cheap. Adjustable Air, there's only one that scored on that, and that's the Sattva Solitaire, scored a 78 and has it was $3,300. You know, these the difference in price is really interesting on these mattresses, because some of these are, you know, as we read in the article, some of them are really good and some of them are just kind of marginal. All right, let's look at the next subject, which is get your phone, laptop, Wi-Fi fixed fast. Repairing electronic devices can be frustrating, especially when you rely on them for everything from reading your daily news to texting with family. It's tough to figure out what's wrong and who can fix it. Our handy guide will help you overcome these hurdles, advising you on how to get the best service quickly, at home or in person, if you can't solve the problem on your own. Fixing your phone. While most phones are reliable and surprisingly durable considering how much you handle them, they can develop problems. Batteries fade over time, granting you less power per charge, and screens may break when you drop the device. But it's easy to repair a shop with tools and parts to fix those easy. Try this first. You probably heard this advice before, but it's effective if the phone simply stops working right. Turn it off. Wait a few minutes and turn it on again. That clears memory, which can correct a lot of glitches. If the touchscreen is frozen, there's no way to turn the device off. Follow these steps. Unfreeze an iPhone screen. Press and release the volume up button, then the volume down button, then press and hold the side button until the Apple logo appears on screen. Unfreeze a Samsung screen. Press both the power and volume button down buttons until the screen goes dark, and then release. Get online help. Tech companies are good at offering digital support on their websites, Apple support, Google support, etc., and free companion apps. You can communicate with a trained technician via live chat and a text-based window, find a repair store, get warranty information, and more. To expedite things, have your phone's model name, serial number, and password at the ready. The repair website iFixit also has helpful step-by-step info organized by device type. Click on Repair Guides. Get in-person help. Be prepared with your passwords and relevant warranty or service plan info for these options. Apple Store's Genius Bar. Apple Stores provide great service for Apple products, but they get a lot of foot traffic, so it's best to book an appointment in advance. At Apple Support Online, you can describe the problem, get a repair cost estimate, and select a time to go to a nearby Genius Bar. Or call 800-275-2273. Note, you may need your Apple ID. Best Buy's Geek Squad. As an authorized service provider for Apple and Samsung, and I've used them, they're not bad, Best Buy provides parts and repairs at prices set by the manufacturer. Same-day repairs may be possible. Book an appointment online or call 800-433-5778. U-Break iFix. U-Break iFix stores are authorized to repair Google and Samsung phones and out-of-warranty iPhones, and they fix Motorola and LG models too. There's usually a one-hour turnaround, Book online or call 877-320-2237. Local repair shops. A neighborhood business may offer faster turnaround times, but if it's not authorized by your phone manufacturer, it might not have access to the diagnostic tools and parts required to complete the job. Right to Repair advocates are working to address that, pushing for state and federal laws that grant access to those items, even for do-it-yourselfers. How extended warranties work. Should you pay $100 to $200 for just-in-case coverage? Here's how to weigh the costs and benefits. Repairs. According to our surveys, most phone repairs cost less than the price of an extended warranty. That said, if you drop your $1,200 iPhone, you might want to be glad you paid up front for AppleCare, $199 for 2 years when signing up for coverage, and then $29 to fix a broken screen. With that out, you'll pay about $379. Theft and loss. Apple, Samsung, and others charge $70 to $80 for protection you may not need. If you purchase a new device with a credit card, it might be eligible for 90 days of free damage and theft coverage. It may also be possible to repair or replace it using your homeowner's policy. 24/7 IT support. This is a night perk if you want unlimited assistance. Just note that you can get help by chat, phone, and even face-to-face consults without coverage, especially when the device is new. Fixing your laptop. Some laptops are remarkably resilient, others not so much, but all succumb to wear and tear over time. Batteries decline, screens malfunction, keyboards fail and shred their keys. Before calling for help, try to recall the sequence of odd behavior, says Elizabeth Chamberlain, Director of Sustainability for iFixit. Did the screen simply freeze or did it flicker for days and then start displaying phantom lines and bands of color? Details like those can lead you to a faster diagnosis. Try this first. Turn the device off for a few minutes, then turn it on again. As with all tech, this simple reboot can solve a lot of problems. If the laptop is frozen, you may have to force quit an unruly application. Here's how. Force quit an app on a Windows laptop, press Control plus Shift plus Escape, right-click on the app to close, and hit End Task. Force quit an app on a Mac, press Option plus Command plus Escape, select the app, and hit Force Quit. Get in-person help. Apple's Genius Bar. Book an appointment and get estimates at my phone at 800-275-2273. Best Buy's Geek Squad, they can handle hardware and software problems, remove virus and spyware, and recover data for $85 plus the cost of parts. You Break, I Fix. These stores fix laptops, PCs, and desktops at 716 locations nationwide. Find a store and sign up online at youbreakifix.com. Local repair shops. Neighborhood shops may offer faster turnaround, and they may have if they have the tools and parts for the job. Get online help. Start with a manufacturer support site, where you can describe the problem and chat with a technician. Or search for your model, make, and the symptoms, for example, Dell XPS black screen. Keep an eye out for forums where people, often experts, provide solutions. Or check out YouTube videos using terms like Apple support, Windows 11, and Dell support. Fixing your Wi-Fi. Home Wi-Fi networks, which give internet access to the devices in your house, are notoriously glitchy. They can stop working and then restart or fine in some spots but badly in others. A challenge, figuring out where the problem resides. With your device, phone, smart TV, laptop, Wi-Fi setup, modem and or router, or internet service provider, ISP. Before you start troubleshooting, keep in mind that it's best to place your router in the center of your home. Try not to hide it in a closet that slows the signal. Metal, glass, brick, microwave, and Bluetooth speakers can interfere too. Try this first. Turn off your modem and router. Wait a few minutes, then turn them back on. Any service you call is going to ask you to try that anyway. Still not working? Go to your ISP's website to see if there's an outage in your area. If your Wi-Fi is sluggish, use an Ethernet cable to connect the modem or router directly to a laptop. If that improves the speed of the laptop, the signal coming to your house is fine. You either need a new router or help adjusting the unit's setting. Get online help. Google Spectrum support, Xfinity support, or support for your own ISP to review your options. With Verizon, for example, you can communicate by phone, chat, or Facebook Messenger, consult a drop-down menu for help with connection issues, and identifying outages near you. A technician can walk you through a fix. If you're comfortable with following do-it-yourself steps, search online for router problems or Wi-Fi isn't working. To get in-person help, an ISP will send you a technician to your home to restore service, replace a modem, etc. But it's not always easy to schedule those appointments. There are other options for timely on-site help. Best Buy's Geek Squad. If you're enrolled into My Best Buy Total Plan, and that's if you're in enrolled in their extended warranty, the Geek Squad will come to you to assist with troubleshooting, setups, and more. Cost $50 for the first 90 minutes. Sign up at BestBuy.com. Regional Repair Shops. You live in one of the 18 states with Nerds to Go locations, nerds2go.com. You may be in luck. This support and repair service can fix slow Wi-Fi connections remotely by accessing your computer with your permission. You can also post the problem in the online market space, airtasker.com, to get quotes and help from local network troubleshooters. Your tech support toolkit. Want to stay cool when your devices let you down? Take a few minutes to prep for the next tech crisis before it begins. Here are three expert tips. Have your info handy. Create a file with your tech receipts, manuals, and troubleshooting guides. Add serial numbers, logins, and passwords. Photograph the setups for your computer and router so you know which cables go where. Update your software. Device manufacturers use system updates to fix bugs and protect you from security threats, so don't skip installing them. Laptops and smartphones will generally prompt you to do so, but routers are less helpful. Today's models often have an automatic update feature that you can activate via mobile app or the device's settings. Back up your data. If your laptop is lost or damaged, you'll be thankful that your photos and files are preserved. Stow them on an external hard drive, $70 to $100. Get a free or paid cloud storage backup plan, such as Google Drive, or do both. Are these healthy, in quotation marks, drinks good for you? We are talking about green juices, kombucha, and probiotic sodas, to name a few. Will these boost energy, immunity, and mood? Do they taste okay? This is what we found. And there's a picture here of a whole bunch of them. You're walking past the beverage fridge at the store, and among the regular sodas, seltzers, and juices are drinks that are claimed to improve your health in all sorts of ways. That can mean easing stress, boosting immunity, or getting you energized or super hydrated. Functional beverages, such as the drink industry likes to refer to them, often contain ingredients that were once found in supplements or herbal teas. Probiotics, probiotic hibiscus, ashwagandha, medicinal mushrooms, and more. And they're popular. These days, nearly 40% of adults seek out drinks with ingredients said to confer wellness, according to the research firm Package Facts. One possible reason: consumers have pill fatigue. According to Howard Telford, Senior Industry Manager for Soft Drinks Research at Euromonitor International in Chicago, and beverages are seen as an easier and more enjoyable way to get herbs and other supplements into their diets. While some of these drinks are better for you, though pricier, than sugary sodas or alcohol, do they do all that's claimed? We looked at the ingredients and tasted a number of the beverages. Here what's actually good for you and how long they taste, too. And let me run through the list of what they have here in front of me. Spare Tonic Blueberry and Ginger, Ruby Parkling Hibiscus, Old Pop Strawberry Vanilla, Elements Focus, Naked Dream Machine, Pop Pie, that's interesting, Aurora Bora, Elderflower, Culture Pop, Wild Berries, Recess Mood, Bold House Farms, Daily Greens, Droplet, Pretty Balanced, Health Aid Kombucha, Berry Lemonade, and Suja Organic. You've probably heard of the healthier gut. You've probably heard of probiotics and prebiotics, and that it can help keep digestive system in good order. The former are beneficial bacteria that live in your gut, and the latter feed them. You may also be familiar with the fermented tea kombucha, the original probiotic drink. These days, though, probiotics and prebiotics are being added to a slew of cold drinks. Some are marketed as healthier versions of soda, like Culture Pop, Poppy, and Olipop, three of the five good-for-you gut drinks that CR tested. Probiotics can help populate the gut with the healthy bacteria that aid proper digestion and help reduce inflammation, which is at the root of heart disease and many other chronic conditions, says Dalia Perlman, MS, a research dietitian at Stanford University. But drinks with probiotics may not have the same benefits as food with probiotics, such as yogurt and kimchi. They're more akin to a supplement in drink form, Perlman says. That's because the drinks don't have the variety of bacteria that those foods do. Plus, the foods are fermented, a process that creates other compounds that are good for us, according to Perlman. Raw, unpasteurized kombucha and spare food tonic, a drink we treated that contains leftover whey from yogurt making, are fermented, but probiotic sodas are not. As for prebiotic sodas, some contain added fiber, usually insulin or chicory root extracted from plants. Here, you're only getting the type of prebiotic that's added in. While you'd likely benefit more from a variety of prebiotics and fiber-rich foods, says Amy Keating, a Consumer Reports nutritionist. That said, these drinks are lower in calories and added sugars than traditional sodas, so they're a healthier choice if you're watching your intake of sweets. Good to know. Some drinks in our test contain stevia. Recent research has raised concern about the health effects of sugar alternatives, so consider limiting your consumption. Wellness and stronger immunity. From the labels. On their containers to the ingredients list, these drinks certainly do give off I'm good for you vibes. Take, for instance, several of the wellness drinks that CR tested. The company that makes Aurora Bora sparkling waters, which contain fragrant herbal extracts such as lavender and elderflower, describes its drinks as delivering earthy tastes and heavenly feelings. On its website, Ruby Sparkling Hibiscus Drinks, which typically contain unusual juices such as those made from blood oranges or Fuji apples, claims they have 1,000-plus benefits. Naked Juice's Green Machine, one of the numerous green drinks you may come across in grocery and deli refrigerator cases, features ingredients such as kale and spirulina, and you can't miss the images of broccoli, spinach, leaves, green apple, and kiwi fruit on its label. Wellness waters like those from Aurora Bora and Ruby can make a nice change from regular seltzer. Plus, they have no added sugars or sugar alternatives. And if you're keeping an eye on calories, Aurora Bora has none of the Ruby, and Ruby has just 15 from its juice. As for those produce-packed green drinks, they're an easy and convenient way to get some vitamins and minerals in your diet, says Tracy Brigman, RDN, a clinical associate nutrition professor at the University of Georgia. But keep in mind that green drinks shouldn't be a replacement for eating vegetables, because they have little or none of the healthy fiber found in whole produce. Plus, some green drinks are actually mostly fruit, not vegetable juice. Though it's natural, the sugar in fruit juice does add calories and can even cause blood sugar spikes. So if you like green drinks, it's a smart move to opt for those that have vegetables high on their ingredient list. Suja Organic Cold-Pressed Mighty Dozen with very little fruit juice has 80 calories in 12 ounces. Compare that with 270 calories in fruit juice-laden Naked Juice Green Machine. Some healthier gut drinks. Culture Pop Probiotic Soda Wild Berries and Lime. 275 for 12 ounces. Calories are 40, sugars are none. This is a sweet and tart combo of mixed berries and lemon-lime flavors. Its only sweetening is from white grape, blackberry, and blueberry fruit juices. The tartness comes from the lime juice. Poppy Prebiotic Soda Strawberry Lemon. $2.12 an ounce, 25 calories and 4 grams of sugars. Simultaneously sweet and tart, this drink tastes like a blend of berries with citrus and tropical fruit notes. It contains both added sugars and stevia, with a sweet taste that lingers. The prebiotic here is inulin, a type of added fiber. Spare Foods Probiotic Sparkling Tonic Blueberry and Ginger, $3.75 for 12 ounces, 110 calories and 6 grams of sugar. Tart and slightly salty, this has a ginger and berry flavors. Its probiotics come from whey, which is also supplies 6 grams of protein and 30% of the daily value of calcium. Olipop Soda Strawberry Vanilla, $3.12 for 12 ounces. $3 for 12 ounces. Calories are 35, 3 grams of added sugar. As fizzy as a regular soda, Olipop has candy-like strawberry and vanilla flavors and a noticeable stevia taste. It contains a lot of added fiber, 9 grams, which could cause digestive upset in some people. Health Ed Kombucha Berry Lemonade, $4.50 for 16 ounces, 70 calories, 13 grams of added sugar. The most, like most kombucha, this one has a tangy sour taste and similar to apple cider vinegar. While some lemon and raspberry notes come through, it tastes nothing like lemonade. For wellness and immunity drinks, which we just talked about, there's Aurora Borba Herbal Sparkling Water Grapefruit Elderflower. $2.75 for 12 ounces, no calories and no sugars. This fizzy drink tastes like a bit like tonic water with some grapefruit and mild floral and herbal flavors, perhaps from its elderflower extract. Ruby Organic Sparkling Hibiscus Blood Orange. $2.25 for 12 ounces, 15 calories and no sugars. The hibiscus makes this tart drink taste something like unsweetened cranberry juice and has underlying citrus flavor thanks to the orange juice it contains, along with a hint of salt. Naked Juice The Green Machine. $4.50 for 15.2 ounces, 270 calories, but no added sugars. The sweet, fruity flavors of ingredients like bananas, pineapple, and apple juice dominate this drink, which has a slightly chalky texture. The solids and liquids separate, so shake well before drinking. Suja Organic Cold Press Mighty Dozen. $6 for 12 ounces, 80 calories, no added sugar. Of all the green drinks we looked at, this comes closest to a true veggie juice, and the flavors of kale, cucumber, and celery really stood out. You also get a big ginger flavor along with mint and lemon. This drink separates quickly, so shake it up as you drink it. Boldhouse Farms 100% Fruit and Vegetable Juice Smoothie Daily Greens. $4.50 for 15.2 ounces. 150 calories, no sugars. Slightly sweet, this has a nice balance of flavors like apple, cucumber, and pineapple. Unlike the other green drinks we tested, this has a little fiber, mostly from added chicory root, not actual fruits and vegetables. For a promise of less stress. Drinks that are meant to improve your mood are fast becoming the new cocktails. Instead of taking the edge off with alcohol, beverages like Recess and Droplet supposedly get their relaxing effects from adaptogens, such as ashwagandha and mushrooms, and nutrients like magnesium. All are said to help your brain and body cope with stress. These drinks can make a flavorful alcohol-free alternative to a glass of wine or a cocktail. But for now, there's no way to know if these products live up to their promises. Most of the research on adaptogens has been limited to animals, and the few human studies were very small, Brigman says. Ashwagandha, for example, an ingredient in Droplet's Pretty Balance, was found to reduce stressful feelings and levels of stress hormone cortisol in people who took 250 to 600 milligrams daily for 8 weeks. But that study, which was published in the journal Cetius in 2019, measured stress levels in just 58 people. Plus, the efficacy and potency of plant-based ingredients varied depending on where and how they were grown, when they were harvested, and what part of the plants were used, Brigman Toys says. Although some brands list the amount of adaptogens they contain, there's little clarity on what an effective dose for an adaptogen may be. In addition, researchers have found that the adaptogens may interact with some medications such as those for autoimmune conditions, high blood pressure, and depression. For that reason, you should always talk with your healthcare provider prior to adding these to your diet. Stress-relieving drinks taste test. Recess-infused sparkling water mood raspberry lemon, $3.75 for 12 ounces, has 20 calories and no sugars. This drink is little more tart than sweet, with raspberry, citrus, and slight peach flavors. A magnesium vitamin B6 blend is touted as the relaxation ingredient. It has no added sugars or other sweeteners. Droplet Sparkling Self-Care Beverage Pretty Balanced, $6 for 12 ounces, 35 calories, no added sugars. This white peach and lemon verbena drink contains ashwagandha. It's tart and slightly sweet with lemon and lime flavors, plus a hint of canned peaches due to the peach puree it contains. Contents separate quickly. Elements of Balance Plant-Based Focus Drink, Blueberry Lemon, $3 for 11.5 ounces. 10 calories, no sugars. This non-carbonated drink has a sweet blueberry taste and a slight bitterness. The monk fruit and stevia sweeteners leave a lingering sugar substitute flavor. Contains lion's mane mushroom extract and other adaptogens. How much fluid do you need? From the claim on various beverages to the large number of people carrying around supersized water bottles, it's pretty clear that Americans are obsessed with hydration. But you may not need to drink as much as you think you do. The 8 glasses of water a day adage is reasonable, not a mandate for everyone. Individual needs vary based on weight, age, exercise habits, and even the weather. Plus, seltzer, milk, fruit juice, and coffee and tea also provide fluids. Caffeine increases urine production, but the water in these drinks compensates for this effect. Nearly every food we eat has water in it as well, and that fluid also counts towards your daily needs. For example, a small wedge of watermelon provides 7 ounces of water. Thirst is often a good indicator of fluid needs, though the mechanism that tells us to drink may diminish with age. And for everyone, it's especially important to sip liquids when you exercise or if it's hot and humid out, because you lose fluids when you sweat. Checking the color of your urine is also a good idea. A well-hydrated person generally has light-colored urine, says Rihanna Pryor, Ph.D. and Assistant Professor of Exercise and Nutrition Sciences at the University of Buffalo in New York. If your urine is dark, you're probably dehydrated and need to step up your fluid intake. The truth about energy and sports drinks. Better caffeine pick-me-up? On beverage labels, energy is a code word for caffeine. And this stimulant could make you feel more alert, says Tracy Bigman, RDN, a clinical associate nutrition professor at the University of Georgia. For healthy adults, sipping an energy drink in place of coffee or tea is probably fine, she says. But you have to consider the caffeine in everything you consume. For context, energy drinks typically have between 70 to 200 milligrams of caffeine in 12 ounces. An 8-ounce of coffee has 8 to 100 milligrams. That's because too much, the Food and Drug Administration considers 400 milligrams of caffeine a day, an acceptable amount for most adults, can have a negative effects. In a 2021 review of 32 studies, nearly 25% of adults who consumed energy drinks said they experienced insomnia, and 30% reported jitteriness, restlessness, or shaky hands. But the makers of some newer energy drinks, such as Aspire, Celsius, and Clean, suggest that where caffeine comes from may make a difference. They say ingredients that naturally contain caffeine, such as green tea, guano seed, and yerba mate, are superior to synthetic caffeine that's been added. For example, the label on Aspire with 80 milligrams of caffeine from guarana seed and green tea says it has healthy energy and natural caffeine and claims no jitters, no crash on its website. But there's no chemical difference between natural caffeine and caffeine extracted in a lab. Some beverages also contain other supposed energy boosters such as B vitamins and chromium. These do help your body use carbohydrates from food for energy, but they won't give you the immediate pep you may be seeking. Plus, you can get what you need on them from a healthy diet. And while caffeine and ingredients like L-carotene and L-theanine may burn a few extra calories, one or two daily energy drinks aren't going to help you lose weight, especially if they have added sugars. Faster hydration. Most drinks can hydrate you, but the promise of sport beverages is that they supply electrolytes, minerals like calcium, potassium, sodium, or other nutrients that hydrate you faster and perhaps better. Gatorade's Gatorlyte labels claim rapid rehydration, for example, and Liquid IV says it's more effective hydration than water alone on its website. Electrolytes, which can be lost in sweat, make muscles, including your heart, contract, and help water and fluids get absorbed properly into your cells, says Jason Metkowski, a registered dietitian, a sports dietitian, and exercise psychologist at the Hospital for Vessel Surgery in New York City. But plain water is just as hydrating, and speed usually doesn't matter, he says. These drinks may have a lot of added sugars and sodium. Gatorade, for instance, has 21 grams of added sugars and 160 milligrams of sodium in 12 ounces. The American Heart Association's limit for women is 25 grams or less a day. 2,300 milligrams is the sodium daily value. Most people can get enough electrolytes from food. An exception, if you're exercising for longer than an hour, especially if you sweat a lot or it's hot and humid day, you might also want to sip an electrolyte drink if you have diarrhea or have vomited, which can deplete electrolytes. Some doctors recommend these during colonoscopy prep, for the same reason. Interesting, just saw a cartoon about that. In addition to sports drinks, a number of beverages offer up blends of different nutrients, sometimes with electrolytes. Vitamin Water calls it a nutrient-enhanced water beverage, while Bai claims to be an antioxidant infusion. Having nutrients like these in drinks probably isn't giving you any real benefits, says CR's Amy Keating. In some cases, you aren't getting very much of them. For example, Bi-Ipanema pomegranate has just 15% of the daily value for vitamin C. You get far more in a cup of strawberries, she says. About a couple comments from Road Report. how to keep valuables left in your car from getting stolen. Car glove boxes these days are getting smaller and are often not lockable. In fact, some new cars don't even have a glove box. But there are still smart places to hide valuables. Resist the urge to stuff things under the front seat. Most cars have sensitive wiring for airbag sensors there that could get damaged. Instead, consider stashing items out of the way spots that can't be seen through the windows, such as under the cargo floor in the spare tire compartment or inside the door seat pockets. The vital statistic, 81.7% of Americans aged 8 and older who wear a seatbelt in the back seat of a car. In a crash, having a seatbelt on in the back seat reduces the risk of fatality by at least 54%. First drive, the Ford Mustang. The redesigned Mustang has fresh styling, more power, and advanced technology. The interior makeover emphasizes screens, with the center display offering many options for personalizing the way the car performs, including the loudness of its roar. CR's take, the muscular driving experience is what distinguishes the Mustang. It has personality like few other cars. There are compromises, such as its tight cabin, which is challenging to enter, but the Mustang delivers a wild ride in GT and Dark Horse trims. Is it wise to drive a used car for selling under $110,000? CR's chief mechanic, John Ibbotson, says that while you can find used cars for less than $10,000, they may need significant repairs or expensive maintenance. A better option, if you can afford it, is to look for a used car that's closer to $15,000. At that price, you'll find 8-year-old sedans and 10-year-old SUVs with at least half their useful life left. If you consider buying a car with more than 100,000 miles, look at CR's overall reliability ratings for that model and year. Check the service records and have an inspection performed by a professional mechanic before buying. Couple of quotable quotes. No good disliking ourselves gives the world an excuse to do the same, Kenneth Branagh. The more I grow, the more I realize it's about joy, not about perfection, Beyoncé. Mornings Are My Worry Time, along with Afternoons and Evenings by J.R. Moninger, author. And with that, we have run out of time for today's episode of Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-513. That's 919-832-513. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and thanks so very much.